The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
Good morning. How's everyone today? Awesome. Wonderful. Well, good deal. My name is Brad Gill. I've been here before a couple times. My wife and I were here last time, just right after Easter. And this morning, I just did something a little bit different. I was going to go over to visit my parents over in Tyler, Texas. Anybody originally from Tyler? It's not too far away, but it's far enough to be able to, it's a little drive down the road. And I visited with them, and I was trying to help them out with some technology. Does anybody struggle with technology? Okay. All right. Well, technology is probably their kryptonite. I thought it was mine, and they called on me to help. So we all struggled together. We got through it. I drove in this morning. I fully intended on wearing a button-down shirt and a jacket to match, or maybe one up. Brother Mike, you know what I mean? Like, because I've seen a red jacket in the past, maybe, right? Okay. But the longer I drove and the closer to time it got, the more comfortable I was in what I was wearing right now. All right? So that's what we're doing this morning. So I'm the BCM director over at LCU in Pineville, Alexandria. That's where Christine and I live. And we are expecting granddaughters soon. Can you believe it? We've got a daughter in Shreveport, Bossier area, and she's due in about a month. And then we have a daughter-in-law down in Lafayette, son and daughter-in-law, and she is due next week. So Wednesday is her due date. So pretty soon I'm going to be a double grandpa, and I need a really good name, and I'm feeling the pressure. So if anybody has a good name, I would love to, you know, for you to share that with me. I'm also involved with our GOLA teams. I know you had GOLA, our team. I think they're probably sitting over here, and they helped with VBS, and they had a great time. Thank you for hosting them and allowing them to come and serve here and be involved with your children and your teenagers and with you. So that's a really, really good thing for them to be able to serve, but for y'all to be able to host them and serve alongside them. And I hope y'all had a great, great experience together. So with all that in the back now, let's just put that aside and all introductions aside and get into God's Word and go to a time of prayer. Does that sound good? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for being Lord God over all things, over all creation. We know that you work despite what we see around us. We know that you work even in spite of ourselves. And we know that you work even when we feel like nothing's going on. Sometimes we're waiting on you, and yet you have a plan. I pray that you would encourage us, give us hope, and help us to see what you are up to, how you're working in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A friend of mine down in Lafayette when I was a student minister, was a student pastor for a while, in one church for a while, and a friend of mine named David had a great job. All right? Does anybody, you don't have to raise your hand, but does anyone feel like you have a great job? Be like, yeah, I got a good job. I love it. You know, that's the way David was. He liked his job. He loved his job. And hey, here's the great thing. It provided well for his family. He had a sales background, he had good benefits, he loved to travel, and all those things were a part of his job. One time I even was going on a mission trip and flying from Lafayette to Houston to wherever we were going. You sometimes run into people, you know, and I ran into David. There was David. David was just on top of his game. He's on a phone call, on a business call, kind of setting that aside. Hey, how's it going? Talking to me personally, jumping on his plane. He was in his element. David was in his element. He was on top of his game, so to speak. And you could see it just right there in action. All this was good until one day his company decided to do nationwide layoffs. And he was struggling. He lost his job. He went from top of his game to kind of like low case, devastating low, right? And we've all been there in some form or fashion. We've experienced a low. We've experienced a struggle. We've experienced something where you say, this is not fun. God, how can I get through this? We're going to be looking at a passage today that highlights on a small scale what we just shared, what highlights on a big scale God's people, Israel, was dealing with. Okay, I asked Brother Mark, I was like, hey, what should I be preaching on? He said, well, I'm preaching on some good stuff in Hebrews. Don't take any other good stuff in the Bible. Just leave, you know, just pick something else. No, he didn't say that. So today we're looking at Habakkuk. All right? Can you even pronounce that, Habakkuk? Okay, it's in the Old Testament. It might take you a little while to figure out where it is. It's right there. You know, you might pass it up. I actually put that, my notes, in my iPad, and it changed it a few times. One time I was reading, and it had changed it to Hibachi. And another time it was Hachi. And I'm like, I did not put this, but we're talking about Habakkuk today, and that's the passage we're going to look at. And in that passage, in that book, it's only three chapters. It's fairly short. So if you're already bored and you want to start reading, you can probably get through that right now before I finish. My goal is to finish before you finish reading. Okay, no. All right, thank you for paying attention. I appreciate you sticking with us. But on a small scale, David had experienced loss like Israel was about to experience loss, but they were going to experience loss for a specific reason. They had turned away from the Lord. And they were doing this on a level, not of like a one-time deal, not a one-time sin, not a maybe a sporadic, periodic sin. It was an ongoing turning away from the Lord. Okay? And they were doing this. Habakkuk's job, this prophet, was simply to deliver the message, repent or be destroyed. In fact, at this point, it was more along the lines of repent. You may be destroyed anyway. You possibly are going to experience these consequences no matter what. I wonder, though, what would have happened if Israel, at that point, had all turned back to the Lord. Wouldn't that be fascinating just to think through what would have happened? But they didn't. They didn't do that. So the prophet was in a tough, tough spot. He was called to deliver a message, and you see a message of judgment. But in that message of judgment, you see a message of hope. So God, slow in anger and quick in his compassion, right? Enduring in his compassion, kept giving Israel a chance over and over, and God is offering hope. Throughout this book, Habakkuk is actually heartbroken. He's kind of fearful. Have you ever known something bad's going to happen? You're prepared for it, but you know it's not going to be fun. Maybe like a hurricane or a big storm that's coming in. No one wants to go through that. It's fearful. It's a little scary, right? He was experiencing those same kind of real emotions. But he was heartbroken, and he was kind of mad at God. He was a little frustrated at God. Like, God, why would you use a pagan nation to come in here and clean house, so to speak, and destroy us, God's people? Like, have you ever been there? Have you ever been there just like personally? Like, hey, I'm trying to be a good guy, right? I know I have some things wrong in my life, but at least I'm not as bad as that guy over there, right? All right? And so that's kind of what the prophet is dealing with on a big level. God, why would you do this? The message is clear. God has a purpose. So I'm picking up at the very end of the book. It's his prayer. I don't know if you can turn that down just a touch, maybe. My mic is super hot. All right. But his prayer at the very end, I'm starting with verse 16. So with all these things in mind, he says this, verse 16, I heard and I trembled within. My lips quivered at the sound. Rottenness entered my bones. I trembled where I stood, and now I must wait quietly for the day of distress. So did you catch all the stuff I was talking about? This day of judgment, this moment of judgment. Israel has known about it. He's been sharing about it. And he's saying, look, now I have to wait for this day. This day where an invading nation, an invading people will come against us. And he knows that it's not going to be good. God has already told him that the nation will be wiped out except for a remnant. All right, that's the hope. That's the hope that we find in here. So with that in mind, I want us to call attention just verse by verse, 17, 18, and 19. We're going to read those verses. Here we go. Verse 17 says this, though the fig tree does not bud. How many of y'all have a fig tree? Anybody? Fig tree? Okay. Y'all might be related to this. And there is no fruit on the vines. Anybody have grapes? My parents used to have grape. They used to try their best. Grapes? No? No grapes? You can visualize it, right? Grapes on the vine. So no fig tree does not bud. There is no fruit on the vine. Though the olive crops fail, though the fields produce no food, and though the flocks disappear from the pen, and there are no herds in the stall. Where do you get this idea? What is the idea here? It's all these images. They're actually rich images, aren't they? They're things that we could... I thought about having pictures up here of all these different things behind me. But what do you get the idea? These are all images that they would know and be very aware of in biblical times. But none of these are flourishing. So my first point to us is this. Number one, it's simple. It's a simple reality. Unfortunately, life is not always fun. That's real deep, isn't it? Okay. Number one, life is not always fun. What is the world looking for these days? I feel like a lot of people are just looking for fun. They're looking to fill the moment, right? From the beginning of creation, God planned everything to be perfectly designed. He planned it perfectly, right? But what broke that perfection? What was it that messed everything up? It was our own sin. And from the very beginning of God's creation, after we messed things up, after we brought a brokenness into the world with our sin, things just don't always work out the way they should, right? Life is not always fun. You know what? When I start doing yard work, I know that something's going to happen to my lawnmower, right? I know that the spool is not going to withhold an entire yard when I start weed eating. So it's going to let go. Something's going to mess up, you know? I know that the thorns are going to scratch me up, and inevitably I'm going to cut my leg or do something. Something's going to go wrong. And on a small scale, that just highlights what we experience all the time, isn't it? Sometimes life is not predictable. Life is not always fun. We're going to have moments where life is not fun. And let me tell you this, when life is not predictable, that gives us a chance to realize what we are living for. This morning, I want to ask you, what are you living for? See, all these images right here that are mentioned are images that have significance. They all point to peace and prosperity and possessions and all these things that we might be living for. They all symbolize something that we might even be living for today, right? I mean, who doesn't want to have plenty? Who doesn't want to have no responsibilities and not have to work anymore, right? I mean, we all aim for something a little bit better. Figs. What would figs look like? Figs would be a symbol of peace. They provided shade. The fruit, specifically talking about grapes, it's a symbol of prosperity. It's a symbol, really, of Israel. The olives, we see that a lot. Olives had lots of benefits, even medicinal benefits. Wheat. My grandfather was a farmer. He grew wheat and corn. Cotton. You know, I remember some of these things growing up and seeing all these things. What do you do with wheat? Make bread. You make all sorts of stuff with it, right? Your daily sustenance. Sheep. A symbol of prosperity, right? And you see the imagery of sheep We are all like sheep, right? Because we wander. And then finally, cattle, almost the epitome of prosperity, right? I mean, when you go out to eat, who doesn't like a good steak, right? All these images right here are just kind of pointing up to this idea of peace and prosperity, but they all have one thing in mind. They're not producing any fruit. They're not having any kind of end result. You know, I want to ask you and just highlight this idea that maybe in life you can't relate to this idea of the fig tree not producing fruit. I want to bring it maybe even to like your church. You're trying to seek out a pastor. And maybe that's frustrating to you right now. Like, when are we going to get that pastor, right? Or when are we going to see this? Or maybe at work you say, when am I going to get that promotion? Or when's business going to pick up a little bit? Or, it could be anything. It could be anything. But ask yourself, what is God speaking to you through your disappointments? What is God saying through your disappointments? What is He saying through your struggles? Right? As you wait, as you endure. Let me just tell you this, a little something we can latch on to this week. It's never too late to celebrate. All right? It's never too late to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. That was actually in some of our songs and some of the things that we just heard and sang about. But if I were to say it's never too late, and you would say what? To celebrate. All right? I want you to think about that all week long. And remind yourself that even though life is not always fun or predictable, it's never too late to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Because Habakkuk goes on to say this, even though all those things are happening, verse 18, yet I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. So even though all these things are happening, he says what? I'm still going to celebrate. I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord, God of my salvation, right? You know, in the moment, Habakkuk anticipates a worst case scenario. He's fearful of what is about to happen, right? He knows about the invading army. He's told everyone about the invading army, but he's apprehensive about it. Okay, he knows that the nation of Israel is going to be destroyed. But what does he do instead? Instead of like hiding in a corner, what does he do? He celebrates. He prays a prayer of rejoicing. So what do we normally do a lot of times when we face our fears? Sometimes we spiral, right, into maybe an emotional mess or a spiritual mess, right? We spiral and we just start going in a bad spot. We anticipate worst case scenario. But he didn't do that. He turned everything around from the point of pointing at his own problems. He pointed back to God himself. And I love that. I love what I see in the passage here. So number two, second point, ongoing gratitude overcomes our fear. Ongoing gratitude overcomes our fear. I'm fearful all the time. I'm probably more fearful than I even realize. I try to, like, yeah, I got this, you know. But I think we're all a little fearful of a little something here and there, you know, a little anxious about a little something here or there. But what do we do with that? What do we do with that fear, that apprehension? It's kind of a buzzword over the last 5 years, anxiety, right? What do we do with those things? The prophet uses this as an opportunity for gratitude. Because it's never too late to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Amen? Because of ongoing gratitude that overcomes fears, let me ask you this morning, you don't have to answer out loud, but I want you to answer in your head. What are you thankful for this morning? What are you thankful for this morning? Think about that for a moment. What are you thankful for? Why don't you talk about that today as a family, as a couple? If you're by yourself, look at yourself in the mirror and say, thank you, God, for that. Just start listing out some things. All right? Because of ongoing gratitude that overcomes fears, thankfulness should be in our hearts. How do we oftentimes respond? How does the world respond to fear? A lot of times we will push back, like, don't mess with me, right? Or we'll punch back, right? Almost a fight or flight kind of idea. We might run away. We might even try to hide. We're going to avoid that. We don't want to deal with that. Or just try to survive. Get by through the moment. I see this a lot in college ministry. I'm not going to deal with that. Maybe it'll go away, right? Or maybe we'll just take matters in our own hands. This idea like, I can do it on my own, right? I've heard it described this way. When we're facing fears, we can fight, flight, freeze, fawn, like to appease something or placate, or flop, play dead. We can respond in any of those ways, right? But let me tell you this morning that fear is really just another opportunity for us to depend on the Lord. Fear is just another opportunity for us to depend on the Lord. Habakkuk shared his fears. Verse 16, he's talking about fear, the tremble, like maybe even like he's feeling in his bones, right? And he's talking about, even though these things aren't coming to fruition, yet I'm going to celebrate in the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation, because ongoing prayerful gratitude really alleviates fear. Colossians 3:6 says this, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue in Him. Walk in Him, being rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude." Gratitude is a theme throughout Scripture, and it's something that should be an overflow in our lives. I want to highlight one thing about verse 17. All those things that I just read about, that we read together, all those things don't occur overnight. Okay? If you have a fruit tree, it doesn't produce fruit overnight, does it? It takes time. It takes time. Your relationship, my relationship with the Lord, is a one-time experience of salvation, right? But then it's an ongoing experience of nurturing and growing and pouring in, allowing Christ to build you up, allowing your roots to grow deep. And how do we do that? We do that through reading God's Word, right? Through praying, through having a community of believers together. These are all things that we take for granted sometimes. We call them Sunday school answers. But you know, sometimes if we find ourselves in a rut, we can go back to some of these basics and say, am I expressing gratitude? Am I growing and nurturing? Am I nurturing my faith? Because otherwise, if we don't do those things, what are we going to do sometimes? We might give up, right? We might give up. But here's what Scripture says. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this, "Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction..." This is New Testament believers who are being persecuted, right? And they're saying, "For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory." So, we don't focus on the things that are seen, but we focus on what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is, you probably know the last word, what is unseen is what? Eternal. Right? God is working, and we need to allow Him to nurture our faith, strengthen our faith, and celebrate, rejoice in Him. Verse 19 says this, "The Lord is my Lord, He is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer and enables me to walk on mountain heights." Last point I want us to draw from this is simply this. Honest vulnerability is the best way to share your faith. You know, when you're struggling, that's a great time to be a witness. We kind of think the opposite, right? Oh, I'm struggling, so I got to go hide. I got to go pull my life together. I got to get it all together before I talk to anyone about Jesus, about faith, about matters of faith. But no, what if we were just real with people and shared how we were struggling and share how we saw God work in that situation? Notice, if you would, how the prophet becomes increasingly more and more personal in his words, talking about his faith, right? He says this, "Yet I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord of my salvation. The Lord, my Lord, of my strength. He makes my feet to walk me to heights, to mountain heights." Notice he's not talking about the Lord. He's talking about his Lord. He's not talking about religion. He's talking about his salvation, right? He's not describing something that's impersonal. He's talking about the strength that God gives him to be able to do these things that otherwise he would not be able to accomplish. He's not talking about a generic faith that's so easy for us to walk into, right? He's not talking about generic faith. He is talking about a supernatural God who enables him and us to be able to walk on mountain heights. Here's what the prophet Jeremiah says, "Call to me." God says this through Jeremiah, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and incomprehensible things that you do not know." If you're struggling, this is an opportunity to be a witness. If you're not struggling, guess what? You probably will be struggling pretty soon. That's just life, right? Because what's point one? Life is not always fun. Something's going to break, something's going to fall apart, and that's inevitable. Ongoing gratitude alleviates that fear. And then when we have an opportunity to be vulnerable with other people, that's when we can share our faith. You know, a lot of times we like to cry. We like to complain about whatever we're going through. I know I do, right? The next time you're going through a difficult time, I want you to pray, even pray now. God, prick my heart. Remind me that this is an opportunity to be a witness. I told you earlier about David, who lost his job. He went from the ultimate high to a drastic low. But guess what he did? David didn't give up. Instead of sitting and sulking or not looking for a job, David turned to the Lord. And he faithfully prayed for a new job. He continually gave thanks to the Lord. On a regular basis, he did. He jumped into more active church life. Like, he served as a student ministry leader. He became a greeter. He became the coffee shop expert. You know, like, he was all in while he was still looking for his job. Every time someone asked about how his job hunt was going, he would say, I mean, he would be real. He would say, "This is a struggle. This is tough. But here's what God's doing." And he would use that as an opportunity to witness to people, or at least share what God was doing and encourage other believers. David not only got a new job, but guess what? David became, throughout that whole process, an effective witness like never before. David became a witness like never before. So just as we highlight these things, to pull them all together, I want to summarize what these points are once again. Life is not always fun. Life breaks down. What is it that you are living for? Second thing, ongoing gratitude overcomes our fears. Ongoing gratitude overcomes our fears. What are you thankful for today? And then finally, honest vulnerability is sometimes the best way to share our faith. Isaiah 52, verses 6 and 7 says this, "Therefore, my people will know my name. Therefore, they will know that on the day that I am he who says, 'Here I am.' How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald who proclaims peace, who brings good news, who brings good things, who brings salvation, who says in Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" I just want to encourage you this morning, it's never too late to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. But let me tell you this, it's never too late to repent. It's never too late to turn back to the Lord. We say it this is the way I love to say it the best. It's never too late to turn away from your sin and yourself and turn to the Savior, Jesus Christ. It's never too late to repent. It's never too late to turn to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's never too late for you, Christian, for you, believer, to proclaim good news to the world. Amen? Amen. Well, hopefully you didn't get a chance to finish the whole chapter, the whole book, but I encourage you to go back and read it and see how God was working even through a very, very difficult time. Let's pray. Praise God for who you are and how you're working through our lives and around us. I pray, God, that we can be on the lookout for how you are working and that we can respond accordingly in obedience. Pray that we wouldn't push you away, but instead we would run to you and that we would run to others, even when we're struggling, and share with people that Jesus is Lord, Jesus changes lives, and that offer of salvation is available for everybody. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. So with that in mind, Lord, we go in this time of invitation. Let it be a time of response, not only for now, but a time that we can respond all week long in gratitude and being a witness for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.